baby.
Yeah, right. But no, you're absolutely right.
Here, this kind of feels maybe lazy a little bit.
Welcome to Set Cheddar Park.
Some movie screenings.
Why not, you know?
Yeah, at that point, why not?
It's got to be Saturday somewhere. It does sound familiar.
It's hilarious. Hello! I think we did like 5 shows on this movie.
My name is Tom Cole.
Oh, you bite your tongue if this does not hold up.
Cream corn tonight.
Cream corn tonight.
You are too kind.
Too honest.
Well, that should be good corn time.
It's a movie.
Happy Saturday, Robert.
Happy Saturday to you.
Staying cool, sir?
Yeah, a balmy 93 degrees tonight. So, yeah, I know.
I've used the word balmy more since you said that on a previous show.
Oh,
yeah, I'm like, get balmy out.
Maybe not enough people say it. I say it all the time. So.
Yeah, it's balmy. Yeah. But good to see you. You're listening to Set Jetter Saturdays here on the Podcastle with Robert Patterson, the creator of the website setjetter.com. One of the top, I would say the top sublocation website ever. I think most people would agree with me that know your work.
You, as always, you're very kind. Lots of good ones out there.
You're a big influence on my life. I found Robert. I'm just going to refresh the listeners. I found Robert just by being a fan like 2 years ago, and he was gracious enough to come on the show, and we've been doing it ever since. So dreams can come true, kids.
And dreams now you're drinking Diet Coke 8 times a day. And
oh my gosh, I went to, we'll get into this and what you've been watching, but I saw Top Gun yesterday.
Yeah.
And I went with my father-in-law, and he's like, do you want anything to drink? And I was like, I'll take a Diet Coke if you had it. He's like, that's what I'm having. He had cans of Diet Coke. Snuck him into the theater.
Oh.
Diet Coke.
Actual can. So you had a...
the actual can.
Yep.
Drank it. Went to get pretzels. Got another Coke. It was, I'm on board with the Diet Coke train.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry for your sodium problem.
Just to give some kind of context, I've drank soda in the past, maybe, and I'm not exaggerating, maybe once or twice a month. Since I saw you last, it's all the time.
I'm sorry.
It's so good.
Diet Coke and Tubi needs to be a sponsor here.
Yeah, tonight's show is sponsored by Diet Coke and Tubi. They go so well together. Great show tonight. We're going to get into Summer of 95, which is a pretty solid list, I think. But first off, what you been watching? Robert, I want to kick it off with you. What's happening?
First and foremost, I just watched Nope last night. So no spoilers or anything, but...
Yeah, how was it?
A typical Robert movie review. It was fine. it had a pretty decent... first act. It had a fantastic middle act too. Like he was at heights of Spielberg at his height, Close Encounters era Spielberg, that wow. I thought his filmmaking and scenes and stuff I just really, really liked. And then he kind of floundered a little bit for the end, but there's enough pieces in there. And I was having some callbacks to Signs. So it's hard to remember the first time you saw Signs, and they'd have these little flashbacks in normal time or whatever. But you'd only get pieces of the story. And now that you watch it, we all know, we're like, oh, it all led up to him seeing his wife and the accident and stuff like that. But you didn't know the first time. So you saw these. So it has elements of that. And so there's enough. I was like, oh, I do kind of, I don't know if I'll go sit in again in the theater, but I'm anxious to do a rewatch to see some rewatch some scenes.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that it's good. I had a buddy that saw it. He said he loved it. And I really think I like that you said it's Spielberg-esque with like Close Encounters of the Third kind of thing and Signs.
Yeah.
Just say Signs. I'm on board.
You have to say. So certainly better than Us, but probably not as good as Get Out.
Yeah. Get Out's a tough act to follow, I think. But really interesting, really interesting. How were the performances, the actors?
Pretty good. Sometimes I know he's been accused of just letting them go on a little too long. You know, like, I'm like,
mm-hmm.
You can edit some of the performances out. But, no, I liked him, so there was nothing to, everybody was just about right.
Oh, I like to hear that.
I'll say that. But yeah,
I like that you enjoyed it.
So, and of course, you know, I've been to a couple locations before when the trailer came out. In April, I went to a couple spots, and then of course, I have my notes during the movie. If I see a few more spots, that I come back and at least put Google images up so people can find the spot.
Yeah, I saw you posted one from Nope on your Instagram the other day and Facebook, which is great, which is really cool.
And of course, there's like two Burbank, North Hollywood ones that are probably like 5 minutes from my hotel. I'm like, oh, if I would have known.
Of course.
I would have gone, but otherwise.
Like the barn in Friday the 13th Part 5 when we were hanging out. It was like
we were
there.
So close. I was like, what was I thinking? But I wasn't.
No, I don't.
But yeah, so obviously that was the one. But I didn't been doing some here and there. Like are you familiar with Creep or Creep 2 with Mark Duplass?
No.
Okay. I've heard good things about it, and I finally just thought, you know what? I'll be honest, I just was on my second screen while I did other stuff. So it was kind of interesting to watch. So I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Some documentaries, Girl in the Picture. I think that might be HBO Max. Probably worth. Went back old school, watched Audrey Rose.
Nice.
But I don't know if you consider
it an old school
Exorcist ripoff or not. Of course, I'm still watching Westworld season 4.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. It's fine. I went to the theater and watched Legally Blonde, I think. Yes. I don't know if I've actually watched it all the way through, but my friend, he loves that movie, and it was playing at Alamo as a movie party, and so I thought, I'll be nice, and I'll do this. So,
you got into Harvard? What, is that hard?
What? And it is one of the, so Alamo movie parties, you can talk along to certain lines and stuff like that, so, and yeah. It was, I'll be honest, it was like, when I was pulling up, I was like, oh, this is a 90% middle-aged women, this is their movie. So there's kind of some talk-alongs to that. And interesting, Osgood Perkins, Tony Perkins' son, in Legally Blonde, also in Nope.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a small role. He has a couple scenes with Donna Mills, who I love. Yeah, I don't, for the Knots Landing fans, I was a huge fan of Donna Mills, and so I think one or two scenes, very small piece, but I was excited to see her on the big screen.
No, that's cool. That's cool that there's the connection there. And what's interesting about Legally Blonde is it's one of those movies you wouldn't think would have such an impact at the time. You're kind of like, oh, it's like a dumb comedy. You wouldn't really anticipate that it would age well, but it is a fun movie. It is good.
And I've actually seen the musical. So I was actually more familiar with Legally Blonde, the musical, than I actually was the movie.
Oh, but I didn't know they had a musical for it.
Yeah. So that was kind of interesting. And then, of course, I was like, I saw my friend. I'm like, well, I've been to all these locations. I said, oh, I know. I've been to her college and where else? The party is actually at Heritage Square. It's the Phantasm II house. It's the Phantasm II funeral parlor is where she goes.
Oh,
to
is that where that is?
Yeah, that's where she dresses up in the bunny. She thinks that's a costume party or something.
Heritage
like that.
Square gives out great artwork, great paintings, pictures for people that go there.
I hope it's in a $100 frame on your wall.
Right.
But yeah, there's a couple other locations. I'm like, oh, I've been. Oh, like the courthouse, of course, is American Horror Story Asylum.
Right. Yeah. 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 I saw that.
Anyway, but
that's cool.
Yeah. So I've crammed quite a bunch of stuff in.
About you? You've been busy. I saw Legally Blonde at the Alamo. Actually, I was looking for you, and you put your head down, and I was like saying, "Hey, Robert," and I don't know. It was weird.
I haven't been to the L.A. Alamo yet, so
I have. I've also watching Westworld, which is fine. I like the 30s sets, so I'm more interested in your pictures from Westworld than the show itself, to be honest with you.
Oh, I did post some because
you did.
They told me not to, but I thought if once it's on screen, I should be able to.
Yeah, it's fine. They can't control your life. They don't want your life.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so mad that because I was looking for those apartments that they live in, their houses or condo. You know, like
it's like in Van Nuys, isn't it?
It's in Glendale. I was literally two blocks from there when I was in LA, and I'm like,
oh really?
Darn it! Yeah.
Next time.
So close.
Next time you'll get it.
Now somebody else is going to get there before I do.
Not if I have anything to say with it. You there with that camera. Put it down, sir. I've been watching, so I saw Top Gun Maverick, which... Okay.
Is it everything enough, that people said it was? Or?
I mean, it's a good movie. It's a good film. I didn't really expect it to be, but, I mean, 97% Rotten Tomatoes after 2 months. I'm kind of blown away that it was as good as it was. It was a really good sequel. And I didn't get tickets in advance because it was a Wednesday screening at 1, and it was sold out. So I'm like, how is this sold out? Los Angeles, California, yeah. Wednesday, 1 p.m., 3 months after it's like comes out, or 2 months, it's sold out. I'm like, what? So I started looking around on Fandango. They're like, all these movies, it's like sold out. I finally found a good theater with like the good seats and everything. Yeah. It was great. There was, you know, I had my Diet Coke and it was like relaxing. It was like the, you know, recliner seats.
Yeah.
But it was so bizarre. I'm like, wow, this movie's like just killing it. It's killing it.
Still, yeah, nowadays. I mean, I do remember in the olden days that every once in a while we had to go to a different theater. Obviously, this was before you could buy advance tickets and whatever.
Right.
And I remember, is it Deception? What was the Demi Moore, Michael Douglas movie by Michael Crichton book? I want to say Deception, but I don't think that's it. But where she sexually harassed him. I remember, yeah, we're like, oh, we'll just go to this theater opening night. And it was like sold out. And then we went to another
Disclosure.
Theater. Disclosure. And it was also sold out. I'm like, same thing. Like, who's going to this movie?
Yeah, it's so bizarre.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah.
Back in the day when it was like Jurassic Park in the first month or something like that, Star Wars, you're like, all right, you're not going to get in. But I'm like, Top Gun after 2 months on a Wednesday at 1? Like a Wednesday. It was bizarre.
Yeah.
But I guess people are reseeing it. So, but it was good. It was good. I give it a lot of credit for using real effects, which is hard to do today.
Yeah.
With jet planes. There was no CGI. Or few CGI.
With Tom Cruise before, whether you love him or hate him, I respect for his at least one tentpole moment in each movie of real that he's actually doing it himself, not even other stunt people, but
right. And he gave an opening to the movie, which I've never really seen in a film before, but it was like 2 minutes of him saying, like, you know, thanks for coming out to see this movie. We like, you know, we put a lot of time into it. You know, it took us a long time to get it out, which it did. I mean, this was done in like 2019, which is kind of interesting. And he goes, we did this for you. And I was like, no, you did it for the money. But yeah, well, I'll take thank you for
but like, thank you. Did everybody congrats? Was there clapping then?
There was no clapping. I'm glad there was no clapping. That whenever there's clapping, I have to do the obligatory. Like, they can't hear you. Nobody from the film is in this theater right now. But
you're in LA. They could be, actually.
They could be. They could.
There are 300 people on every credits. So actually, the odds are.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, the odds are statistically there's somebody that knows at least somebody.
And they might just like, oh my gosh, they clapped for me.
They clapped for me. But yeah.
He liked me. He really liked
me. He liked me. Top Gun was good, though. It was better than I thought, so I definitely recommend it. I've been watching Better Call Saul. They have two new episodes of the final stretch of the season, which I have to say I think are the best in the whole series. They did it right.
Are you going to be a little sad once it closes?
No.
It's just enough.
It's just enough. And I don't really care about the Better Call Saul characters as I did the Breaking Bad ones. I still like Aaron Paul better than Bob Odenkirk character, I should say. So, I will say Kim Wexler, Rhea Seahorn, the actress, is by far top five best TV characters ever.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like
she's just so good.
I need to obviously watch that series at some point.
Yeah. It's really good. It's really captivating. So, but doing through that, I mentioned Westworld, and I did watch Bill Burr live at Red Rocks. He really touches on a lot of cancel culture stuff, and it's topical, and this is the first special he did since he became sober, so he's kind of like a little softer. Like, it's good. It's good if you're into comedy.
I didn't watch it, but I'm like, is it weird to be... Red Rocks is obviously, you think of the musical acts.
Right, yeah.
As like, is it a comedian? Like, does it...
Right, yeah.
We're going out to Red Rocks tonight for...
Right. I think that's like his thing now because he's also going to be the first comedian to perform at Fenway Park in Boston. So I think, they dressed up the stage a little bit. You can tell you're at Red Rocks when they do panning shots, but they had like an overhead and, I mean, it could have been any theater in the country.
Yeah.
Really. When you watch stand up, you're on a stage. It's close up, but
it would. And I guess here locally, Amy Schumer, John Mulaney, they've been in the arena, meaning yeah. floor and bowl, which that's quite a few tickets. I mean, that's
a lot.
Yeah. For, yeah. and you, I was thinking, I'm like, oh, that's pretty good overhead. I mean, how much right. stuff are they bringing, you know, as opposed to a concert and the lights and everything, there's really not as much to bring to it, but.
Right. Sell some merch.
Not that I wouldn't sit in anything but front row, but
yeah. Of course. No, you have to. Look, if you're going to do it right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And here's the thing. I guess I can't imagine being in an upper bowl to watch a comedian. I'd be like, you know what? I can't even.
No. I would never go see that kind of show for a stand-up comedian. I would only see stand-up comedians in an intimate, like a comedy store or improv. Yeah. I don't know. Seeing live stand-up at one of those big places, it's just, to me, I'd just rather watch it at home.
Yeah.
And then I did blow through the Resident Evil Netflix series.
I've heard some mixed. I haven't dipped my toe into that yet.
It is mixed, and probably rightfully on both sides. It's refreshing. It's not like a fifth movie with Mia Jovovich, where you're just like, what else can they do? I mean, really.
They kind of took a Fast and Furious road. I'm like, I don't even know the difference between any of them.
No, yeah. After the second one, you're like, I mean, what are you going to do? So it was good. It was refreshing that it was more simplistic with the settings. They used Lance Riddick from The Wire, who I love. I think he was great in that. But I give it. I think it was good special effects, good pacing, interesting premise. They switch between 2022 and South Africa and 2035. But there it did get a little ridiculous at times. They focus on two sisters, and as they get older, they're like, "Dad loved me more than you," and you're like, "Oh, stop." It got really, really bad. The acting was pretty bad.
Okay. Well, I might pass on that then. So.
And a lot of virtue signaling. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
You're like, oh, that's really? Is that how you're thinking in this scene? There's a giant alligator. Literally, it's like a Lake Placid times 50 yeah. alligator. Ready to like eat something because, you know, the T-virus makes cells generate. And then there's like some scenes and you're like, No, that's not what you would say here. It's like kind of too on the nose.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's good. I'd watch it again for sure.
Okay. Well, I don't
know. I will see. Watch it, second season.
I'm not making any commitments yet.
No. Yeah, I better put that one in the back burner for a little bit.
Yep.
But okay, so that's what you've been watching. We're going to get into the summer of 95. Now, the last show we did, the summer of 82. And this one is kind of more of a fun list for me. Not that they're better movies, but that I was like, I've seen all these in the theater, or most of them, I should say, like 90%. During the summer of 95, it was a fun summer. I was a 14-year-old kid, hormones raging, and these were the movies we saw. Where were you during the summer of 95?
I was 25. And it was also a memorable summer. I think I when we talked about 1995 and when we were doing that year on our original podcast, I think I might have told you so. I was involved in my apartment was on fire by an arsonist at the beginning of 95. So I kind of credit some spring and summer 95 movies of kind of getting me out of my funk a little bit, or the ones that, you know, I specifically remember Tank Girl. I specifically remember Brady Bunch. Yeah, and for some reason that was kind of like, I was like, movies were a little bit of fun escape, you know, from reality. Brady Bunch the movie, of course.
Hey, just rewatched both of them, by the way. Oh, so good.
But your homework is still watch Brady's Go to the White House. Oof, I dare you.
Oh no.
And a couple, then of course the summer, there's a couple of movies that we'll talk about today. So 95. I was curious what obviously 82 we were doing it kind of for 40 year anniversary. What brought 95 as your prompt? I saw the prompt. I was like, I wonder what brought this on.
I'm going to be completely honest with you, Robert. I don't remember even writing that. It might have been late at night or something. But you messaged me today, Robert, in the thread, and was like, "Oh, I saw your summer 95," and I was like, "Yeah." Good call. I don't have any recollection.
You have
so
no
maybe
idea.
It's divine intervention.
All right. So I was like, I'll help you. I did a little research for you. And you're like, what are you talking about?
I know why I wrote it. I meant to say summer of 96. I was thinking of Twister and Independence Day. But this is just as good.
Well, I'm going to see Twister on the big screen in 2 weeks, I think.
No way.
Yeah, they're having a movie party at Alamo for Twister. So I've not seen it since on the big screen since 96. So.
Wow.
What a treat. Yeah. We're curious what the so Alamo movie parties, you get little props and stuff. So we're kind of curious what the movie props are going to be. We're pretty sure, you know, because there's hail, like in Elf, the movie party, you had little foam, styrofoam spheres for the snowball scene or whatever. So we have that you could throw across the audience or whatever. So we have it pretty sure that's what's going to be one of the props. But yeah, like when we had The Shining, you got a little blow up axe that you're supposed to when he had the axe hanging out, and everybody got a room key and something. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we got baseball bat pins. Yeah, so they have some fun stuff.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
So we're hopefully get some good props for Twister.
Are you going to look at somebody watching Twister that's not really into it and say, "That's Jonas Miller"? He got himself a couple of corporate sponsors. He's only in it for the money, not the science.
Here's the thing. At these movie parties, usually the people that come to it, they are into the movies. Oh, and so this is an Alamo thing where they said, you can talk along, you know, still, you know, no side chatter or no sport, you know, no yelling out lines before they say, you know, but they do encourage kind of...
the chatter, the banter.
Yeah, the kind of like you can say the lines along with the movies, so, which we do already. So yeah. I think it should be a good time.
And I think it's good they encourage that, because why else would you be there if you can't really... do that, you could rather just watch it at home. It's an experience.
And actually, they are having an 82 they're like playing Slumber Party Massacre and The Thing and like all these great 82 movies. So I might be going to the movies quite often.
And these are all at the Alamo in Omaha?
Of course. Where else would you go?
Where else would you go? Of course.
AMC?
No. Oh, right. The AMC rewards, they're always trying to, I always get emails from AMC and they're like, did you enjoy this movie? Get our rewards points. And I'm like, I'm not doing the rewards. My wife gets free AMC tickets from her bank. She belongs to the Technicolor Federal Credit Union.
Oh.
So they give her like, we get X amount of tickets a month. And I can tell you in one hand how many of those we've used in the last like 5 years.
It's just not worth it.
They're just pushing it.
I think it's AMC. There's some theater in Iowa that... they have so many disruptions from kids or whatever that now under a certain age has to be chaperoned by adults, which shows you the ridiculousness that our theaters have gotten into.
What do you mean chaperone? You mean if they're under like 14, there needs to be a parent?
Correct.
Regardless of the movie rating?
Regardless, because there's so many out of control kids.
Oh, I'm okay with that.
Oh, yeah. And so like one, I would never go to... I rarely go to a non-Alamo theater, but because of that, and I have friends that, you know, they said it is ridiculous, just kids running up and down the aisles and on their phones and chatting, and just like, I was like,
oh, it's rude. No, you got to shut that shit down.
Yeah.
Knott's Berry Farm, you know Knott's Berry Farm? They had an incident last weekend where there were a bunch of fights with teenagers, like fist fights and stuff like that. They shut it down, and then the next day they came out with... there needs to be chaperones for anyone under like something like 16. You cannot be entered without a parent. And I'm like, that's how it should be. You know, I'm not an old man that's like, these kids,
those darn kids,
get off my lawn. But it's like, you pay all this money to see a movie. You're ruining the experience.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Oh, I 100% agree. So
that's why you got to go to places like Alamo or the Arclight Cinemas where there's like people watching. Like there's actually an attendant of the theater in the auditorium, like watching, because nobody wants to get confrontational. And, you know, with today's all the violence, it's like, you know, just it needs to all be like uniform. Yeah. So
everybody shut up and watch the movie.
Get off my lawn. But Summer of 95, we're going to kick it off. What's the first one on this list, sir?
Die Hard with a Vengeance, which is a hot New York summer, which is perfect because this is what it feels like right now. You know, like that when I think of that movie, I think of hot, sweaty New York.
21st president of the United States, Chester A. Arthur. He ran the party from 1881 to 1885. Yeah. You didn't know that? Simon says that this is a fun entry for me in the Die Hard franchise.
It started to... Well, I love Die Hard too. That mm-hmm. was a great sequel. I didn't like this one as much because I thought it felt it wasn't getting to the ridiculousness of the later Die Hard sequels. There was a couple of things that were like, they're defined. You know, when they jumped from the bridge to the ship, I'm like, somebody would have been cut in half, I think. But
No, it's slipping in this entry. It's not perfect.
Yeah.
Well, compared to the latter two, I mean, it's the last like good one, I would think.
This became a classic. But otherwise, this one's still good. And what, they have the bomb in the school. Colleen Camp is one of the cops.
Yeah.
If you remember. I don't watch this very often, but.
No, I don't either. But if it's, if I'm flipping through and there's nothing on and it's on, I'll give it a watch. I just love it's 95 and they're still doing the 80s, like Cobra kind of cop thing. Like he's hung over and they're like, get him in here, you know, and it's like the cigarette.
He's the only one that can.
They're doing everything but like wipe him, you know. Yeah. It's just like they're like, just prop him up and he's gonna save the day.
Oh, I know what was missing from this, Bonnie Bedelia, because she was in the first two, and I was like,
yeah,
they mention her, whatever. I'm like, get her on the phone, show her, you know, like just kind of a Randy Heller Karate Kid 3, like, I gotta take care of your Uncle Saul, you know.
She has a contractual obligation to let her use her name, but she's not filming it. So just throw in the phone.
Just come on. Yeah. So
it's almost as shameless as when in Jaws 2, when the orca was killed by the shark and that, you know, woman shows up because that was supposed to be Hooper. And they're like, oh, Matt Hooper called. He's in the Antarctic. He's not going to be able to make it up here. It's like, AKA Richard Dreyfuss is not doing this shit.
He's like, I'm busy with Close Encounters.
Right. Yeah, Close Encounters. Yeah. He's doing another Spielberg movie now. Roy Scheider, you're not.
He's like, damn it. Effing contracts with Universal and Lorraine Gary's like, you just missed him.
And he just, poor guy. Yeah, those contracts. Roy Scheider's a great actor. I'm not knocking him. I love him. But, okay, so next we have... you're too busy squabbling the scraps of Longshanks' table that you missed. Got given right to something better. A country of our own. That, of course, is Party Girl.
I don't remember that line from Party Girl.
Braveheart, 95. Robert, I saw Braveheart with my parents at the drive-in movie theater. And that's the only time I saw it theatrically.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I loved it because I was at the drive-in and it was the last summer before the drive-in shut down in my neck of the woods.
Obviously, that's still a painful part of your heart.
it was. And I soaked it up to the last thing. I saw, I think, every movie I could in the drive-in that summer.
Gotcha. So I'll just be honest. I do not get the love of Braveheart that seems to be pervasive.
Oh, then you better go to the ear, nose, and throat specialist and get your senses checked because it's fantastic. You don't like Braveheart? Did you see it originally when it came out?
No.
Okay, because I'm wondering if there's an age, not an age, at the time when it came out to later years, if it doesn't hold up.
It could be, you know, I'm not a Mel Gibson fan.
You're not. You mentioned that before.
Never will be, and so I just...
See, I can look past the man or the woman, but some people can't, and that's okay, too. I can love movies with people that are the most deplorable people in the world. I'm a big Michael Jackson fan of his music. Yeah. I'll leave it at that.
And this, because I think the other one, the reason I think I remember didn't see it, because obviously there's a pretty homophobic scene in this where he tosses some gay...
In Braveheart?
That's what I thought I remember. Yeah, so.
I don't know. Well, there's... Oh, okay, yeah. Longshanks finds out his son is gay and tosses his fiance out the window.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if that was homophobic cinematically more than the guy really did that in real life.
Maybe.
Well, because he was a terrible person in the 1300s. I don't know.
Just like Mel Gibson's a terrible person in the 1900s. What? Oh, I'm sorry.
Mel Gibson won 2 Oscars for this film, I think. Well,
good for him.
So you're not going to be doing Braveheart Night at the Alamo?
I'll put it on my to-do list. And hopefully I will not be washing my hair that night. I can't make any promises.
Okay. All right. Let's move on then. So Braveheart sucks.
I'm glad people like it. Go for it.
Okay. Now that's a good way to look at it. And what's C, sir?
Batman. We're doing
letters, not numbers.
Oh, yeah. Batman Forever.
There used to be a movie screening at the Alamo, and Robert went. Best soundtrack ever. You Too, Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me.
I love that song. I love that theme song.
Yeah, that's the best movie soundtrack ever.
And now, and it may not have aged as well, but I still like it. My only regret is there's actually in the trailer, they have a great shot of Batman going through the ceiling and kind of landing on the fountain. And yeah. I remember, I think in the trailer, they don't cut away. And it's just like, it's a great look and stunt. In the movie, they chop it up. And I was like, that was the magic.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they just chop it a little bit. I'm like, well, the magic was, this is all just one continuous shot. But
yeah.
But yeah, so, and now I look back, I'm like, oh, Nicole Kidman's kind of creaky.
She is a little creaky.
The Jim Carrey, of course, is kind of intentionally, of course, over the top. But he has like moments, you know, when he's trying to be Bruce and he has the Val Kilmer mole. And yeah. Those are things just kind of amuse me. Ed Begley Jr. is in it, now that I remember, that I think he
was. Oh, he's like he's the Riddler's boss.
Or something like that. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, and I think soundtrack gave it an extra star. I mean, yeah. It made a difference.
The soundtrack, Kiss from a Rose and the other ones, were on MTV like daily, around the clock that summer. They talk about tie-in movie promotion.
I think Taco Bell had a lot of the question marks and stuff like that.
And that was when Jim Carrey was kind of at his peak, where he was doing like three movies a year.
Yeah, and this was kind of the, I'm going to say not pinnacle, but yeah, his most commercial movie where he was playing... He's playing a character rather than kind of another version of himself, which he kind of ended up doing. But
right, and also 1995, there's nobody more perfect you could cast as Jim Carrey's the Riddler. And that time, when you look at all the actors available, like it has to be Jim Carrey. Who else was in Batman Forever? Val Kilmer,
Tommy Lee Jones,
Tommy Lee Jones,
a little overacting. Drew Barrymore and Debbie Mazar as.
All right. I forgot Debbie Mazar was in that.
Yeah, was it Fire and Ice or something like that? Or Sweet, no.
No, they were.
I should know. It was like.
Maybe it was Fire and Ice.
No, I don't think so. I think it was. No, I'm saying Sticky and Sweet. That was a Madonna tour.
Oh, that's what we should be talking about. That's a great name. She was.
It was Lace and. I can't remember now.
Leather and Lace?
Leather and Lace? It might be, yeah. So anyway, they're supposed to be kind of the opposites as well, but. They
Spice.
Barely had
she played Spice.
Spice, gotcha. Sugar and Spice, maybe that was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And they obviously barely had any lines, but that's kind of showed you the. It was kind of this when studio corporate filmmaking works, they could attract all these kind of top actors, even for small roles, and kind of make a fun thing out of it.
Oh yeah, yeah, good call. Do you think Val Kilmer was a good choice for Batman?
At the time, yeah. I thought he was. I liked him as Batman.
I did too, and I feel like because he was kind of a persistent actor and maybe difficult with some kind of demands, he made things more specific in Batman Forever. Yeah. Where when George Clooney came along, it was kind of like, I'm Batman. I'll do whatever you want. Let's throw like all these tie-ins. Where Val Kilmer maybe had a little bit more artistic, credibility at the time. I don't know. I'm just speculating, but.
But yeah, so I watch this occasionally.
So Batman Forever, and D, we have, we're looking for the lost city of Zinj. That is, of course, Congo. Guilty pleasure, Robert. This is a terrible movie. I love Congo. I
really?
I watch Congo once a year. Yeah.
So obviously this is a couple of years after Jurassic Park, and so Michael Crichton was kind of in the Stephen King of like, let's make a movie out of everything he has.
Exactly.
How could it go wrong?
Yeah. I just love it. I love it. It is a bad movie, but it's so much fun. I was biased because it was Michael Crichton, so I was like, this is cool. And I was like, oh, it's in Africa. Like, this is kind of cool. It had like some subtle feels of like an Indiana Jones or in the jungle and the temples. And Laura Linney's great, and it's a fun movie.
Amy's sad.
I was going to say, what really hurts is the animatronic gorilla named Amy. I just pretend that's not in it. Amy, sad. Why do you need Amy in that? I mean, you really don't, except for maybe the communication with the gorillas at the end.
It works in the book, obviously. You know, I mean, you can suspend your imagination to kind of get through that. But yeah, it, there's parts of like, who, and I guess Bruce Campbell has a little part, and then mm-hmm. And then they go to Africa in a stage. At some point. it was like, oh, I think we could have done this a little bit better, but
Ernie Hudson's leading the show.
Yeah. But yeah, actually, and there's a couple, because there was actual couple locations that, you know, when they land at the airport and the bombs are going off, and
See, Amy? Sorry, I'm going to wait.
Okay, yeah. So I can't remember. I have the airport on my map to go to, because it's a regional Los Angeles airport, somewhere in the Inland Empire, I think. But I was like, I'm not going to go out there for that. Like, what?
The airport that stood in for the Zaire?
Yeah,
or whatever?
Yeah. Yep, yep.
Oh, that was at like Ontario Airport or something?
It wasn't Ontario. It was a smaller airport. But
I'm not going out there for that.
Well, yeah, it's on my locations map. I'm like, and I was like, why do you even have this? Like,
see,
what Congo you know, fans?
You know it's bad when Robert won't do it. Like, you'll pretty much do anything so you can say you've done it. But when you're like, I'm not going out there for that, that's really bad.
Then you know. But, and then I'm like, why is it still on my map? I don't know. One day.
I'll go with you. I would love to see the Congo airport.
Yeah.
I want to get Robert's reaction to this clip, just why I have you. I don't know if I'll ever get to watch Congo with you again, so.
All buckling our seatbelts.
You can do it. Go on.
Yeah.
Oh, she gets her seatbelt on.
Good girl. Here's an egg. Amy, we do not throw things.
That animal dangerous.
Humans are dangerous. Gorillas are very gentle.
So you think the gorilla may be dangerous? Maybe so.
Don't perpetuate a myth.
I didn't realize this was a two-minute clip.
The King Kong myth, the myth of the killer ape.
Well, are you so certain there aren't some kind of gorillas?
Who is that actor?
Oh, please, doctor, from, you can't be serious. What's your area of expertise? Folk singing?
He was like a big name at the time.
Yeah, Dylan Walsh.
So you're a geek with a cellular phone.
I'm a scientist. But you and your
usually contain some element of truth.
When Amy drinks cocktails.
Uh-huh. Yeah, martinis, of course.
Are you serving that ape a martini?
She's allowed one. It'll calm her down.
So.
In my life.
I can't put you through this anymore. It's a great movie, story. Though.
It's something. So this was in 95, 96 was kind of Laura Linney's year, because she broke out in 93 with Tales of the City. And mm-hmm. I think between Congo and Primal Fear, I think Primal Fear, maybe they kind of launched her more, but Congo was a legitimate, she became a kind of a studio actress, but.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Without Primal Fear, this probably would have killed her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Primal Fear is a good movie, but this would have been like, yeah. Did you watch Congo theatrically?
I did, right in the theater.
Did you really?
Disappointed, right in my seat. Like, what did we? But, we went to go see everything. Not quite everything, but, you know, it was we didn't have a weekend where we didn't go see whatever the movie was coming out.
Yeah, no, it was a great summer. Believe it or not, I saw Congo at the drive-in with my parents.
Same drive-in?
Same drive-in, yep.
So you were doing every movie that's coming out to the drive-in, I have to see.
I wanted to see it in the drive-in.
Yeah.
What's that?
Did you like it at the time, or were you like, this is no Jurassic Park?
I definitely knew it was no Jurassic Park upon leaving, but I enjoyed it. I liked it. I like adventurous movies. And there's nothing better than Congo. You know what's interesting, though? Okay, the last thing I'll say about Congo is it's a very interesting premise, you know, and it's very believable that, like, some big Fortune 50 company would exploit the rainforest to get something, because they do that now. So, like, it's kind of cool. But just the whole, like, Amy thing really, really sunk that movie.
Maybe, and I don't know if it's worth a remake. Probably not, but...
No. Amy, bad. Omaha, good.
Omaha. Yeah, instead of Congo, the script is rewritten so much, it just becomes Omaha.
Omaha.
Actually, there's already a movie called Omaha the Movie, so...
There is?
Yeah.
Is it better than Nebraska with Bruce Dern?
It is. I'll just say Congo is better than.
Oh, no. Okay.
I shouldn't Rough. Say that, since I know the director, so we'll just leave it at that.
It's not his fault. It was the way they edited it. Okay, what's next on the list, sir?
Apollo 13, which obviously it is another. This one, I think maybe because it's a period piece, these period pieces do kind of withstand time much better than other movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think it was a good movie. Holds up in terms of accuracy. It was a pretty good accurate depiction of the Apollo program, specifically the 13th mission. But you know what's interesting about Apollo 13 is they capture pop culture at the time very well. Like the daughter's crying because the Beatles broke up, and you're like, oh yeah, that would have been a very big deal for a teenage girl that the Beatles broke up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like they did a good job with the times, I felt, which was cool. There was extra detail.
Yeah. And so Ron Howard, I'm trying to remember, was this his first? I knew he got into directing, but for some reason, I always remember this as the one where he really became a established director, or I say trusted director.
I think Cocoon might have been his first.
Okay.
We've never talked about Cocoon.
Well, I remember talking about Cocoon because I think I'm now older than Wilford Brimley and Cocoon. And I'm like,
what? That's not true.
I swear to God. So.
He was like 70.
I don't know.
No, I believe you. I just can't believe that.
Yeah.
You look so youthful.
That's, you're being kind. And
well, you're young anyway. Yeah, you're not an old man, but.
So, what year was Cocoon?
86. I think.
Let me see.
I think I'm older than Harrison Ford was in Raiders of the Lost.
So Bones. if that 86 is right, Wilford Brimley is 52.
85.
What's that?
It was in 85.
Okay. So that meant he was 51. I'm doing my math.
Yeah. So you're younger. You're only 34.
Everybody play along. So because 85 minus 34. Yeah, he was 51 in Cocoon.
Okay. So he's old. He was older than you.
I'm 52 right now.
Oh, I was going to say 34, but all right.
Oh, yeah. So
good to know. Yeah,
that's the weird thing. I was like, oh, should I be in Cocoon now? Cocoon 3?
by the way, don't see Cocoon 2, The Return, if you haven't.
I will avoid it.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I was just about to put it
on. You're about to fire it up tonight.
I get it. Now that you said that. So.
Not
but anyway,
happening.
Apollo 13 still yeah. works. And we still have... the Houston, we have a problem line for everything.
Of course.
And I was kind of laughing because I remember, obviously I was a Mad TV fan, and I remember they had Apollo the 13th, which was kind of a Jason in Space type thing before Jason in Space obviously became a thing later. But
oh, really?
Mad TV did it first, yeah.
I love it. Some of those old Mad TV skits are gems.
One of my favorites is the Barbara Streisand one where she's in prison.
That's a good one.
And every time they show her, it's like totally soft focus or whatever, and she's in the she's in the prison bathroom, and it's like a tub filled with candles. And stuff.
Right. It's like a microcosm of her life, but she's in jail.
Yeah, I could watch that over and over again.
Oh yeah. I love the Sopranos ones too, where they like just cut all the curse words out, so the whole episode is like, it's like Sopranos edited for TV. It's like you fuck the end.
Yeah, that also reminds me of the Osbournes, when that was the first season, whatever. Because I remember it'd be on in the other room.
Oh yeah,
all I'd hear my sister be watching. I'd hear like beep 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 beep. I'm like, what are you watching? It's like the Osbournes. I'm like, they couldn't have one sentence of any of them come out of their mouth without snoring.
They even spoofed that in Austin Powers, too, where it was, like, just too much. Okay, so next on the list is Clueless, one of the best cameos of circus liquor that they have here in the Valley.
People love, circus liquor, I mean, I guess
I have
it
a
works.
Shirt from there, man.
Oh, do you? I didn't realize they sold shirts, so I've been there seeing pictures.
Oh, there's a whole merch line there.
Yeah, not for Clueless. I can't remember what it was for, but I saw this in the theaters as well.
Did you really? Good for you.
I
don't like it.
I did not like it. This movie was not made for me.
No.
I don't know why I was there now that I think about it.
I don't blame you. You know, I don't mind Clueless. It's not quotable, though. I know people that are like, oh, remember that scene in Clueless? I'm like, no, it's not that kind of movie.
Yeah. The only thing I do remember giggling at was when the girls accidentally get on the freeway.
Oh, yeah.
They're learning to drive and they're screaming because, I don't know.
It's L.A. Everything takes 20 minutes to get there.
So I'll give it that.
Yeah.
One scene. That's it.
one scene. I'm going to let you reveal the next one since you've seen this more than anybody.
Well, we're talking about Waterworld, the movie.
With Kevin Costner as the dreamy mariner.
And I've actually seen the Universal Studios show of Waterworld more than I've seen the movie. So yes. I don't know if that says something about me going to Universal Studios too much or how much this movie's not my thing.
No, it's the movie wishes it were your thing because they would need that kind of press. The fact that you've seen it more than the movie, they need those testimonials to be like, you know, over the years to have pushed that. But
well, they kind of force you to at Universal.
Oh yeah, you have no choice.
You think you're leaving the park? You're not.
No, you're in.
You're going to. You're sitting down for Waterworld.
You're in. The...
Sit you're... down,
sir. I have a medical emergency. You're sitting down.
You don't have to sit in the splash zone, but you're not leaving.
I had high hopes for Waterworld. The trailer looked amazing. Like, okay, the polar ice caps melted. They're underwater. And then that was just... I think that was what? One of the... It wasn't even a box office bomb. It made its money back, but it underperformed so bad with reviews that they it gets panned in like every list. I think they're rebooting that, too, as a...
are they?
TV series.
I thought they're going to say
who's asking for that?
I thought you were talking about. I said they're rebooting it into Avatar 2.
oh, the way of water.
The way of water. Yes.
By the way, Top Gun, the trailers, the previews were 30 minutes before the movie, and I was like, oh man, they're really like cramming in everything at Top Gun, and they had a Way of the Water one. I swear, it might have been like 2 or 3 minutes long. You could hear a collective like, oh, what is this?
Like, why? Nobody wants this, Cameron.
Nobody wants that.
Come on. I hope he has like little Easter eggs of, you know, like Leonardo DiCaprio rotting away. Just, you know.
Rotting. That's brilliant.
Well, I don't know. Well, it's kind of like the Boston multiverse universe, shared universe, you know, like, come on. It's all... And Cameron University.
Right. Yeah. Throw it in there. Okay, I'm going to let you do this next one because this is actually very interesting.
So Party Girl is one of my favorite movies. So this Parker Posey is the star. And she was at the height of, she was still the Sundance queen, you know, of independent movies. And have you seen it or?
No.
Probably not. So. No. It was probably kind of made for me. So Guillermo Diaz was in it. And the reason I'm laughing, so Guillermo is a huge Madonna fan. If you don't know, really? He has Madonna tattoos or whatever. So he has this line in it where he's getting interviewed by, you know, to be a DJ or whatever. And the lady's like, imitate a cat puking. Because that's the name of a band or something like that. And he's like, and then, so... I don't know. And she goes, that's the name of the band or something like that. I don't know. So I always said, you know, if ever I bump into him, I'm just going to say, imitate a cat puking. And so that's the first thing that came out of my mouth.
A cat puking.
Yeah. And he knew exactly what I was talking about. So. So Parker Posey, you know, at her best, they actually turned this into a TV show now that I'm thinking about it, which was horrible. It was like, well, you know, like it's a, filmed in New York movie and, you know, just doesn't get any better back. So, Christine Taylor, speaking of Brady Bunch, the movie, played Mary anyway, more or less, Mary is kind of New York fun girl and then something happens and she has to get a job at a library and stuff like that. So, anyway, so it's one of my favorite movies. It's not as well known, but it was the first movie to ever stream online.
That is a cool thing to have, an accolade to have.
Yeah. So 95, obviously, we all know what the internet was like in 95. So who knows?
Very bad.
What the quality was. But
You've got mail.
It is one of my favorites.
I want to watch it now.
Yeah. My sister and I still quote movies, lines from it, because she's trying to teach the Dewey Decimal System. I think the line is like, a trained monkey learned this in 2 weeks.
Decimals. Oh man, I need a crowbar and a quick story. The cat puking, maybe right before the pandemic. I thought it'd be funny at work to imitate a cat puking to some coworkers in the lounge area. Yeah. Oh, so I was doing And my boss walked in and she's like, are you okay? And I didn't know how to react to saying, oh, I'm imitating a cat puking. So I pretended I actually was choking, and then I drank water. I was like, I'm good.
She's like,
and everyone went along with me, and I was like, yeah, wow. Thank you for giving me that. I should have just been like, I'm making an impression, but I was like, you know what? I don't know how to tactfully say I'm imitating a cat puking.
There's like, I don't think there's any way out of it, so no, I don't know.
I'm all in at this point.
So yeah, I don't know if this is streaming anywhere. I mean, I know I have the poster for this. I was just...
Really?
It is, yeah.
You're committed.
This is definitely one of my favorites, so...
Party Girl. Is it a movie 90s. That you watch again frequently?
Not that frequently. I have it on, I don't think it's on Blu-ray. I have the CD soundtrack. So I'm going to get
the soundtrack?
It.
Like, what are some of the bands?
I don't know. I need to look it up now. I remember I liked it at the time.
Was it as good as the Biodome soundtrack with Stephen Baldwin?
I don't even know who is on that soundtrack, but... But yeah, so now, yeah. Mama Told Me Not to Come, of course. I remember that's how it kind of opens and so forth. But
oh, okay.
But yeah.
So that was Party Girl. And letter I is Indian in the Cupboard. I remember watching this in school. We like read the book and it was like a treat. We could watch this.
So you were younger then. So this was obviously more geared to your age at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As opposed to me. I didn't see it in the theater because I'm like, oh, it's a kid's movie. But I think I watched it later. I want to hear your memories of it, but yeah, so I remember the boy in the movie is not your movie star kid by any means. You know, he had like the awkward teeth or whatever, but I think it worked for them because he seemed like a real kid, and I know it's based on a book and so forth, but I kind of liked it. It had decent special effects to have the little Indian and the cowboy and all that, but I thought it was kind of fun.
It worked. It was fun. It had a good Dairy Queen tie-in. There it is. Oh my gosh, you still have that. It's amazing.
So this was one of the... Remember,
how
this
offensive.
This was hyper-color times, you know? I don't think it works anymore, you know? Like, it would change colors
if
it got cold and stuff like that. So this is the Indian from the Indian the Cupboard Spoon. I still have, and I still use.
Do you use it with like an Oreo Blizzard or just with cereal?
Just cereal and stuff like that, so...
Or was it when you freeze Diet Coke and you eat it like a Slurpee?
I just like, ooh, I did see it. Yeah, so, yeah, so still, one, I know it's weird that I still have stuff. How many years ago is this? 22, 27 years?
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I love that you keep things.
And I just have it literally right here.
Yeah, so. I do too. I keep like knickknacks like that too. Yeah. And I'm like, no, I've had this for 10 years. I'm going to have it for 50 until I die. Like, this is part of me now.
If I would have brought it out, I still have like my... Batman Returns bat logo cover for drinks.
Oh, no
like
way.
So, yeah, I have all this weird.
I still have the Batman kitchen. Burger King cup from like 1989 somewhere. Like, I didn't even see the movie in the theater. Like, I was too young to even see it, but I remember like getting the Batman like toys, and it was like, it was fun. And the Mario Brothers toys from like 1990 at McDonald's. I'm going to hold on to them forever.
Yeah, well, people buy them. So.
Yeah, they're fun. And then finally Indian in the Cupboard, I wasn't a big fan of at the time as a kid. I was kind of a weird teenager. I was more in like Great Gatsby kind of stuff. Ooh. Like I was ahead of my time.
What are you, already a fancy kid?
Yeah, I was more like I loved Gatsby when they taught that. I was all about like, that's my failed sport. And they're like, Clark, you're so weird. But Indian in the Cupboard, the movie, I think the effects still hold up. It's still fun. And finally, a treat. This is The Net, 1995. We've talked about this and
a couple times.
They used a real Starbucks in the movie, you know?
Did they? No, that's... You're thinking of the other Sandra Bullock movie.
Oh, Miss Congeniality.
Yes, yeah. So, The Net. And actually, I need to do an update on this page because when I was in Pasadena, I got some better shots of the Mexico... consulate or wherever she's supposed to be at. So
The Net, they ordered the pizza online. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yes, where they dink, you know, like
dink.
Well, because remember she's collecting and like,
it was
a big deal because she was choosing her own seats on her own without a travel agent. In 95. That was like, what is this gonna be, the future?
Well, I thought it was revolutionary at the time. And if you, if anybody cares, I saw this movie with my parents
at the drive-in.
Yep. It's a classic.
Oh, your parents are like, do we have to see every movie that comes out at the drive-in?
Well,
like,
I think my sister and my neighbor, Rebecca, we all like teamed up and her parents took turns, and it was all we wanted to do was do the drive-in that summer. So,
go ahead.
What's that?
I'm looking at these pictures and I'm thinking, I guess I could do a special The Net tour for fans.
Oh, yeah. Go down to Venice.
At the Net convention.
The Net convention.
Yeah. People are like, ooh, we can't wait to see this. Everybody off the bus.
See, it'd be good, too, if you did, like, you know, next time you know that, you pitch, like, movie tours and you get tourists to hop into, like, your rented van. But you only do the Net locations without revealing that first.
Yeah. You know, we can do even kind of like a random generator thing. It was like, welcome aboard, everybody. And we spin the dial, and like, today's locations are the Net. And people are like, ugh. Like,
are the Net.
Actually, you have to get go. You do that on the freeway, so people are trapped.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They can't go anywhere at that point.
I'll bring you back in 6 hours.
I need to go. Oh, here it is. Pasadena City Hall, of course, yes. Stands in for the U.S. Embassy.
That's what it was. So I will. I took some better pictures, so I will rectify.
Where was the U.S. Embassy supposed to be? Which country?
I think she was down in Mexico.
Yeah. Okay.
That she was trying to get back to the U.S. and she's, I know, I am Ruth. Her last name is so.
Oh man!
And
great
some,
shots in this.
Some
in this
weird
entry.
San Francisco locations randomly.
I wanted to bring up to you too. Yeah, I know. 6th Street Bridge, you've covered that before. The old 6th Street Bridge.
Yes.
Greece and everything.
I missed the opening.
They're having, I'm going to brief you and the listeners on some local LA news. They're having huge problems with the new 6th Street Bridge. There are there's street takeovers, like the street racing, because Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
So they're having those all the time. So they had to deploy special, like, tactical units of LAPD to, like, stop these races. Two is there's an arch on the bridge, like an arch that goes over it, like a
mini arches, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's no way to block that, so people actually are climbing over it, taking pictures. Someone's going to die.
Dangerous, yes.
It's awful. Last night, the police broke up a barber giving haircuts on the bridge for pictures. People actually showed up. There's been a myriad of problems the last 3 weeks with this bridge. I think they're going to have to shut it down and, like, re-engineer the whole thing. It's so bad.
Well, here's the thing. Obviously, I missed the original 6th Street Bridge because it shows up in, I don't know, how many movies, how many car commercials. I mean, that was just the go-to bridge.
Yeah, of course.
And so I kind of missed that. Yeah, I was kind of missed that kind of aspect. And when there was like, sad that it's gone just for movie history, but you know, right. Things change. And so I saw the concept and my friend actually was, they had one day before they opened it to traffic for pedestrians and she was on the bridge, taking pictures. And I was jealous that I was like, oh, I missed that. I thought that'd been kind of fun because how often do you get
good of course
pictures without, you know, you can,
right.
You could have walked the 6th Street Bridge when there's, but it's just dangerous and stuff. Anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I thought, you know, I like that they kind of continue the arches and so did the best they could to kind of modernize it, but still had kind of the same thing. So I thought, okay, I'll accept that. So, but now it's kind of sad to hear that.
Sure.
So they're going to add something else. And we're like, well, for safety reasons, we have to do this. Kind of like the Pasadena, I could just call it the Suicide Bridge, where now they have fences blocking the original, you know, like it just takes away from it. I know why they did it, but
right. I mean, I haven't heard anything where they're modifying the bridge. I'm just saying they're going to have to do something because people are just climbing up the arches and like taking pictures, which I would never do. I have a fear of heights. That's like, it's one slip and you're dead. That's just ridiculous. So,
and
I say leave it up.
Yeah. It's like survival.
Thinning out the herd.
Yeah, I was like, this is what happens. Yeah, right. It'd be dangerous enough if you fall actually onto the bridge. If you fall off to the ground, that's another...
Oh, yeah, if you go into the aqueduct, you're not going to make
feet.
It.
Yeah, so...
No. But we'll see what... Keep it classy, Los Angeles. We'll see what happens.
So I'm anxious to drive across it at some point. So
yeah, you put your time in and got some great shots. So should be interesting to see what you come up with. Okay, so that was the summer of '95. Good solid list there for the most part. And
I
finally,
should say it was right past the summer of '95, but I did wear my Halloween 6 shirt.
Oh, there it is.
It came out in September of '95, so yes, not summer, but and certainly not October. But
I remember that. I remember we rented that from Blockbuster when it was first available. A bunch of friends, and me and my friend Mike had such. We hyped it up a lot, not ever seeing it. And a lot of people were like, it's kind of scary because we're like 14, 15. And I'm like, you guys are pussies. You know, it's a fun movie.
And Paul Rudd.
Yes, Paul Rudd
shot this before Clueless. So that's why you see and introducing Paul. What do they call it? I think they use his middle name in Halloween 6.
Oh, they do, don't they?
Yeah. And then Audrey Rose. Coincidentally, she's the first kill, I think.
Yes.
And she plays the nurse. Save your baby, and then go.
Save your baby.
Yeah.
And it's the last Halloween before CGI with Donald Pleasance.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
the great Donald Pleasance.
So he died well before the movie came out, but right. I still like that one quite a bit. I know
me
it's
too.
Not. People give it a lot of crap, but I think it's fun.
It is fun. And hey, look at their first, you know, the early Halloweens. If you're ever in some kind of jam, who would you rather have on your side, aside from God himself, than Donald Pleasance with a trench coat, swigging a little bit of whiskey, armed, has a firearm, very direct. Like, that's the guy I want in charge during a crisis.
Yeah.
You know? So,
Speaking of, I'm sorry.
No, please.
So the Halloween Ends trailer has landed.
Yes. Yeah,
teaser trailer, I guess I should say. So I'm not it's weird. Have you watched it, I assume, or no?
I watched it the second you sent it to me.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So there's some moments in there and I've agreed there's other fans like, "Oh, her house reminds me of Jamie Lloyd's house in Halloween 4 and 5 because it's the red and stuff. It doesn't look exactly the same, but it kind of has that kind of moments and stuff like that. So I'm always excited to see Jamie Lee. I'm glad that she finally conditioned her hair for this one compared to
She did. She finally used some conditioner and treated that bee's nest.
Yeah, so maybe
wasp nest.
Yeah, I should say Jamie, Laurie Strode. So she's like, I finally got a decent haircut. Whatever happened to Michael. So yeah, I'm just kind of curious. Yeah, I'm kind of curious, like what happened, like, and like where did it happen to Michael? And he's, you know, obviously they're going to explain all that. So, so obviously I will go see this no matter what. But, and I'm very not into spoilers, but I've accidentally already seen people kind of post their theories and stuff like that. I'm like, it's like, and then one I accidentally read, I'm like, oh, if that's true, I am going to hate this movie.
Where is the original Halloween message board when you need it, Robert?
I know. And actually, I would avoid it because if I really want to, I can get the script. And but I don't. No. I don't. You know.
You don't want
to
do that.
No, I don't want to know and stuff like. And already, you know, the trailer. No matter what, the trailers already give away too much for fans because you're like, oh, obviously this happens.
I know. If you just piece it together and watch it carefully, you're like, okay, I see in this show. Okay.
But yeah, so I don't know. It didn't ever. I remember the teaser trailer for Halloween Kills, where it's just the Let It Burn trailer. You know, I think it was like a 30 seconds, and you know they had a couple establishing shots that excited me because I'm like, that's all I needed. I was like, ooh,
tease it.
Another taste of Halloween.
Yeah.
Tease
it a little bit.
And the thing is, like, you see people screaming and about to get murdered. I was like, well, now, you know, okay, right. I obviously redhead's gonna get it. You know, like it's like.
Right, here's the thing with the Halloween trailers and a lot of movies in general in a franchise, and I could be wrong, but the people that are going to see this movie are going to see it regardless. Mm-hmm. And the people that know nothing about the franchise are probably not going to see it unless they go with somebody else that's bringing them along.
Yeah.
So I don't think Halloween Ends is going to be bringing people into the theater that have never seen a previous Halloween unless they're coming of age and they're like going to the movies on a date or something like that. It's made for a certain, you know, demographic. Yeah. And I think less is more with trailers, to be honest.
I agree. So,
you know?
It seems to be, obviously, hopefully they're going more with the creepy crawler version of Michael as opposed to the Jason version, but we'll see. But yeah, anyway, call. I just had to throw that in. But
no, so I like it. I'm gonna play it real quick. Yeah. If I may.
Go for it. That's all I needed.
That's it.
Yeah. And it could be a little bit this soundtrack where they do a little, you know, and like it reminds me of Halloween 4 and 5.
Good call.
Where they do little variations and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe, I guess in Halloween 4, there's also point of views of going up the stairs. You know, when Michael goes to Jamie's bedroom.
Yeah. Leave us alone.
Leave us alone.
Come on, let's go. Come and get me, motherfucker.
She dropped her wedding ring down the drain.
Not that. That's why she's like, no, my ring.
we'll both see it regardless, but I agree with everything you just said. I think that was brilliant.
Anyway, I just needed less. I don't need to see anybody else. And obviously, she seems to be wearing the same shirt she had in 1978. Not obviously the exact same one, but...
Right, but it's...
There's enough echoes. At this point, we're like, we don't need more echoes.
No, you don't. There's enough echoes already... established.
So anyway, the end.
Halloween ends. We'll keep everybody updated. Don't watch anything else on the internet or social media until you've heard it here from the set jetter. Finally,
I did like my little after Halloween ends, Thanksgiving begins movie.
Yes.
Idea. I'm just saying. I'm pitching that to Blumhouse.
Continuity. Thanksgiving. Yeah. Thanksgiving begins. Let's do it. Finally, Blind Man's Bluff, randomly selected generator. Robert's going to walk through his what he had for breakfast the day he shot these pictures and give us kind of a little bit of a rundown. And the film is, Robert, I'm going to read you your opening statement.
Okay.
Today marks the anniversary of Blank, released April 9th, 1999. It's been nearly that long since I've seen the film. But below are some locations I visited over the years. Super tough one. What is it, Robert?
That is a tough one. So April 99 should be enough of a clue.
Mm-hmm.
But and obviously I've not watched it since that time. Gosh, I don't know.
Filmed in Los Angeles. These are the filming locations.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that are in Los Angeles.
Nothing. April 99. Nothing is coming to mind.
Begins with a G. No.
Go.
Yes.
All right. Whew. Yeah.
Good call.
Okay. I was thinking, what's the first word I can think of?
Begins with a G, ends with an O.
And I could have came up with, that was Gigi. It was, what was
this
that
was
word?
Updated Ben April. Affleck. Gigi. Oh, yeah. Bad. This was updated April 9th, 2021, Robert. So are these fairly recent?
Yeah. So, well, the pictures might be older. This is obviously anything in 2020 and 2021, COVID time, I was at home doing nothing but finally getting around to updating my website. So
good
here
call.
You go, people. So the grocery store, long gone.
I love Sons. That's supposed to be John's or Vons.
I think it was probably a Vons that they changed the name for the movie. So because the grocery store is gone, I could at least get some reverse shots of stuff that still matched up. Kind of the best you can do in those cases, but I kind of show what the grocery store looks like at the time.
Yeah, right here. Where was it?
The first one. Yep. So, yeah. And Tim Oliphant's house apartment was right off of. I think it was right off of Los Feliz. Franklin Avenue.
Franklin.
Yep. So yeah.
I don't know where this is.
Probably not too far where you used to live. I don't know.
Yeah. Right by Franklin.
So busy street.
This is downtown?
Yeah, so this is the often used gas station for a lot of movies. To me, it's Madonna's What It Feels Like for a Girl gas station.
Hell yeah.
She blows it up, but it's been used in many, many movies. And enough that the people get still weirded out when I take pictures there. But
really?
Yeah. They're like, what are you doing? I'm like,
what are you doing?
I'm a Madonna fan.
they should get with the times and understand what you're doing.
So I remember this house was kind of near LAX, and you could tell it was end of the day. Someone's sun is almost setting.
Oh, yeah. You got the shots.
I got shots. And then I really wanted, like, the
rave.
Yeah, was shot at the airport. Santa Monica Airport.
Yeah. They're shutting that down, too.
I've heard that, and I was like, maybe I can get some proper pictures, because if I needed the proper pictures, I actually would have to be more or less on the runway, and obviously they don't like people doing that. So,
yeah, it's a federal crime, but Robert, you probably get away with it.
it's for the movie. It's for my website.
It's for my website.
So I don't think I've watched this in a long time. Anyway, I don't think I rewatched it, but
it made a splash at the theater.
Yeah, I still have fond memories of it, and I still semi-quote this movie, because it's named after literally one scene where she turns and mouths, go, to the guys, because she's trying to save them from getting into trouble.
Yeah.
You remember, but anyway. So every once in a while, I'm like, go.
Is it oft-quoted by you, or is it here and there?
No, it has to be at the right situation, because otherwise people are like, what?
Yeah, you can't abuse it.
Yeah.
You can't abuse it like I do. They're like, do you want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? I'm like, great, Scotland. And they're like, oh,
here we go. That has no context to what I'm asking for. You're just shouting out lines.
You know, I do, if with people were in traffic, I really shouldn't say I do this. people don't want me to do it, but if I had, in a perfect world, when we start moving again, I start kind of rocking a little bit, like Quint Jaws, and I'm like, farewell and adieu. But it looks like I'm just like playing with myself or something. So I don't do it like I should.
And people are staring straight ahead. Don't look at the guy next to us.
Don't look at him.
Keep looking ahead.
Right. From the other car point of view, it's very awkward, but
Whew,
watch out. What are your plans for the weekend, sir?
I have a birthday party to go to, but this is like somebody's having their 40th birthday at a bar, so...
Oh, okay.
Not a birthday party type of thing. But otherwise, low-key. And for TMI for everybody, I have to have my colonoscopy next week, so I'm just really looking forward to prep for that.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. Taking care of business, being healthy.
2+ years overdue, since obviously when I turned 50, it was supposed to be my next time to get it, and that was height of COVID. So
when are you supposed to first get it?
It kind of depends on your history, if family history and... Yeah. So far, so this would be my third or fourth.
I'm trying to put it off. My wife tells me you're over 40 now. You have to like get this stuff.
It is, and here's the thing: the actual procedure is nothing to it. Obviously, you sleep and whatever. It's that prep.
That's what you hear. The prep is like, what do you do?
I can't handle it, as a lot of people can't. So it's like, that was part of the avoidance. Which, in retrospect. Two things. Like, one, I remember freaking out because one of the first times, like, what do you mean I can't eat food for over 24 hours? You know, who can? And you do kind of like, how do people? This is impossible. And then you kind of hit a kind of not Zen moment, but you know, like, oh, I don't need to be eating all the time. Why don't I do this all the time?
We're just Americans. We're just like, oh, let me just put food in here. Right
and
away.
And then it's all ruined by the prep, but.
I know.
Where you're like, I hate life.
Is it food and drink or just...
It's
you have to drink water, right?
So for education listeners, more or less, the day of the prep, I mean, you're only doing liquids and only can be certain kind of liquids and so forth. And then the prep is usually done the early evening, the night before or whatever. And it is literally there's different versions, but drinking X amount of liquid, that's one. It's just... a lot to be swallowing and kind of go down, and then the rest of the night is just, it's all coming through you.
Where does Diet Coke play into this? Can you drink it?
Diet Coke is allowed.
Is it really?
Yes.
Problem solved.
Believe it or not. Yeah. So yeah, liquid is like coffee, soda, Sprite. Just, it can't be like colored, you know, purple soda or purple Kool-Aid or something like
that. Yeah. Not a lot of that sugary stuff. Yeah. Thankfully, Diet Coke has zero sugar and zero calories.
Yeah, so I'll be Diet Coked up.
Diet Coked up. Now, if you got sick, God forbid, and you needed, you know, you were dehydrated and you're going to be okay, but you need to replenish liquids, your IV, they hook up to you. I'm talking about you specifically, Robert. Is it,
oh, me, man.
Is it intravenous fluid or electrolytes, or is it Diet Coke that they put in that?
If it was Diet Coke, Diet Coke would get me back on my feet the fastest.
See, I just wish you had a Poland Spring water cooler like they do in an office, but it's just Diet Coke, so you walk up and you just dispatch, like a soda fountain.
You know, I'm pushing for a Diet Coke fountain machine in our building, even though it really goes, there's no reason for it.
Oh, but I think you should.
Warren Buffett has one in his office. I'm just saying.
Is it Diet Coke?
He has Coke and Diet Coke, yeah. So obviously, he has a lot of stock in Coke, so that's why he has. Okay. Yeah, it's just kind of looks like a, you know, in their break room, except there's also like a Coke fountain machine and stuff like that. So I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
If Warren Buffett can afford it, I think I can
too. I think you can too. I think that's the deal.
Yeah.
All right, well, this is a great show, Robert. Thank you again for taking the time tonight, sir.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening, everybody, to the podcast of Setjetter Saturdays. Don't forget to check out Robert's website at setjetter.com. Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you on the set. Shoving and